I mean, just when I got back this summer, a couple of the leagues you see on YouTube, Next Chapter, Ball is Life, the Junes League, Off the Dribble, they contacted me all one after another, and they were like, you want to play him? You want to play him? You want to play him? I'm like, shit, how much we getting paid before I basically, I don't do nothing for free. Y'all know that.
Welcome back to another episode of Not Even D2. I'm your host, KJ Allison, here with my guy, Naruto Perdomo. Definitely got a fire episode for you guys today. If you're watching on YouTube, you see I got my Thunder drip on. Shout out to them guys. I'm still jacking 2025 champs all the time. But TBT this week, bro, super excited for that. A lot of people I've been talking to don't really know what the TBT is, or if I mention the Elam ending. And that's something we talk about in this episode with Ty Nichols and Sam Peak, our guys playing for We Are D3. But the TBT, the basketball tournament, it's a single elimination tournament for $1 million. The winning team takes $1 million home. There's 64 teams. And what's special about the TBT is they use the Elam ending to decide all their games. So for people that don't know, Elam ending, regular time score basketball throughout the whole game. And then the first dead ball under 4 minutes. So clock hits 3:59, timeout, out of bounds, whatever. The winning team now add 8 points to their score. That is now the target score. So time is eliminated at that point. So if it's 63-60 and it's under 4 minutes dead ball, the target score now becomes 71. So now both teams are going to play towards 71. And it can be on a shot, it can be on a free throw. But why I like the Elam ending is, like in the NBA or whatever level of basketball, a problem in late game situations is like the intentional fouls, making the games longer, less intense. But now with the Elam ending, and some leagues are starting to implement it too, but just like you got to get a bucket or you got to get a stop if you want to win these games. So that's a little context in the TBT, but we're going to be there supporting We Are D3, a team full of Division III players. Talk to me how you feeling going into it, bro.
Yeah, really, really excited to get to the TBT. I think the TBT is a great event, you know, and it's for a good cause. I mean, it's giving hoopers, you know, a chance to, you know, professional hoopers to, you know, win a large sum of money, which you always love to see. And there's a lot of talent within the TBT. Obviously, we know about the We Are D3 team, but the multiple different, you know, backstories of the different teams like Boeheim's Army, Louisville's TBT team, La Familia, which is Kentucky's, UVM, Stars of Store. So a lot of great teams in the TBT with interesting backstories. And I'm really excited to head over there, bro. I mean, we went last year, and I think I can speak for both of us when I say it was an unforgettable experience. You know, obviously being in Dayton, Ohio, you know, wasn't too memorable in terms of the area, but just the experience of being around those guys, you know, like we mentioned in the episode, Ty, Marcus, Quan, and, you know, seeing them win a game the first time in history, it was awesome. So I'm really excited to get back there, bro, and really interested to see, you know, what they can do this year in the TBT.
Nah, yeah. It's always, I don't know, just the TBT, when guys are playing for $1 million, bro, like, you'll see the emotion on these guys' faces when they win or lose. It's just like, yo, we're that much closer, or our dreams are shot. Like, this is also a big offseason for some of these pros, because you're spending so much time. If you make it all the way there to the championship round, you're wasting either summer league opportunities, workout sessions, being able to be at home. So I respect everybody playing in the TBT, but I want to talk a little about We Are D3 going into this year. Obviously, you just mentioned they won their first ever game in the TBT last year. And like you said, it was electric. But this year, I feel like the expectations have grown tremendously because of some of the roster additions, but also just because they got that first win. Teams are no longer just like, oh, those are a bunch of Division III players. I was just watching the Heartfire game, and we were joking about it in the episode, but they like really sold. They could have beat the number one seed, the team full of Division I players. So what are your expectations for this team? Because like Sam being added, you know, you got more size down low. Obviously, Ty Nichols, Marcus, like they get it done year after year. So just talk to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think to your point about the Elam ending, it kind of changes your approach. Because Elam ending is not in quote unquote normal basketball, like a normal NBA game, FIBA, high school, college. So, you know, how you would approach a, you know, 2 minute drill at the end of the, you know, end of a half is very different to how you would probably approach, you know, an elimination ending. You know, we've been playing an elimination ending in my little men's league out here in Portsmouth.
Oh, that's tough.
Nah, it's fun, bro. But it's like, you know, we had a game on Sunday and like, it was a four-point game going into Elam, and it's like they could, like, if we don't take care of business, like, they could come back, you know what I mean? Yeah, and minute, we, you know, we undefeated right now. We don't got to talk about that, but but yeah, no, I think, you know, last year with We Are D3 team, they had a really good chance, like you said, and they lost, bro. It kind of happened in, you know, Elam ending. It was neck and neck really for most of the game. You could tell me if I'm wrong, but I feel like, you know, it was pretty close, and that's kind of the idea, you know, behind the We Are D3 team, right? It's like trying to figure out the best group of guys, what's going to work in this setting, right? So Reg talked about how he's getting a lot of guys who play in money tournaments and outdoor leagues because they know what that type of environment is, where they have to, you know, play on a random day and just show up and perform. You know, he brought in a lot of, you know, bigs to help out Sobol, to help out with the rebounding, because, you know, the biggest difference when, you know, you watch Heartfire versus We Are D3 last year was just, I think, the size of a lot of the players, bro. Okay. Like, the 3, 4, and 5 were at least 6'6", between 6'6", and, like, 6'9". You know, everyone's taller than me because I'm shorter, but still, like, it's just, like, that's going to help this year. So I think that was the approach for Reg, bro. Like, obviously, last year was tough, but it's a year-by-year growth and see what they can improve on a year-to-year basis.
Nah, yeah, you said it perfectly, like, all the points I was thinking about mentioning about this team is what you just said. So I'm not going to basically rephrase what you just said. I'm just going to say that it's not a surprise to me when We Are D3 beats, like, if they beat any of these teams in this region or in this tournament, it's not a surprise because, you know, you're combining like a group of alum from one school or random alum, but these are like the best Division III players. And we know, like, there's not that big of a difference between, you know, some of the, I don't want to say this, but lower level Division I guys versus, you know, the best Division III players. Like, it's pretty even, or Division III is better. So, like, my expectations are they can win it all, to be honest. So I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm just saying I wouldn't be surprised the more games that they win, for sure. But just to get into this episode, we talk with Ty Nichols, who's Keene State's all-time leading scorer. Like, really can score the basketball, bro, on a lot of people in a lot of ways. So he's a basket. He's been playing overseas in different countries for like 8 years, 9 years. I don't even know. And then we also, during the same episode, we talked with Sam Peake. So it's a combined EP, all four of us. Sam Peake started at Division III Wesleyan. And it's crazy, bro, because, yo, his freshman year, he barely was playing at Wesleyan. And then, like, now, or the end of his career at Wesleyan, he was one of the best players in the country, transferred to Division I Stetson, and then got a G League opportunity where he's been playing for the past 2 years. So his career took off at the perfect time. So it was a really good episode. Definitely, like, some of the better players on We Are D3. It was fun talking with them. And we're going to be at the TBT. So make sure to follow the team.
They play, I'm pretty sure they play on July 19th at 1 p.m. against Lane's Hope. So definitely, you know, it'll be a great game. Lane's Hope got some really good hoopers, you know, from the Cuse area. You know, my boy Jayhawk, you know, I hope you don't kill against We Are D3. But room, you know, for you, though. But
no, it's definitely going to be a good game. So they play at 1. I think that game is on YouTube. And then the more, like, all the rest of the games will be on FS1. So if you're looking for any information, be sure to contact at Not Even D2. But if not, go follow us at Not Even D2. Subscribe, like, and let's hear from Ty Nichols and Sam Peake. All right, we are here with the guys, Ty and Sam Peake. How y'all doing today, bro?
Good, man. Good.
How y'all doing?
Good, bro. Excited to get both y'all on, man. No, obviously we have both y'all on the podcast individually, but definitely going to be a cool episode today with having both y'all on today, for sure.
Nah, yeah. Yo, Ty, you played in Rutgers this past week. Just give the viewers a little recap of how that's been going in the summer.
Yeah, obviously everybody knows about Rucker Park. It's iconic park. Kevin Durant's played there. Allen Iverson, you know the list. So, I mean, just being able to play out there, you know, win or lose is a blessing in itself. Fortunately enough for us, we're 2-0. I think it's about 7 games, and then it's the playoffs. So then in the playoffs, you're playing for a prize. I think the prize is 30K overall. Mm. So I think we got to win one more game. We're eligible for the playoffs. And then, we take it from there. But it's been a great experience so far, 100%.
Ty, I seen that, or maybe Reg commented on it. He said that you got a nickname now from the Rucker crowd, Mr. Silence the Crowd. Is that true or not?
I don't call it that because it's not like, but I mean, I'll take it for sure because I ain't from New York. You feel me? So I'll take whatever I could get out there.
Nah, I feel that. Sam, that's your Motor City jersey back there or nah?
Oh, yeah, that's my, they gave us 2 Summer League jerseys. We got to keep them. I got one in my brother's room and then one in my room.
Heard you. Are you playing in any like money tournaments, or are you just be in the lab working out?
No, I'm really not. Honestly, it's kind of like I'm getting used to the off season too, like as a pro. So, I mean, here in Thai, all these little tournaments, it's definitely, because I haven't really played in any games or anything in a while. So, I'm definitely missing that.
But and the water's coming up soon, so I know you locked in for that.
I know. Honestly, hopefully we're still playing for TBT, but if not, in the water.
Facts.
So I'm planning on being at TBT, but yeah, those are good like local runs too. Local guys, hoopers, for sure.
I want to talk about your past season a little bit. So you played in the G League this past year, and there was like some Instagram clips of you going crazy. You had like 25 and 12 one game. So I'm just kind of curious about more of your season, if you could talk about that, and also what your plans are for next season.
Yeah. So last year I played Summer League with the Pistons. So that kind of solidified like my next year with the G League team. So I was doing that, and it kind of was similar last season. Like I was the only guy, it was me and one other guy were the only guys from last year. So it was like a whole new team, whole new roster. Guys are coming in and out all season. So started off a little slower, had some really good games towards the beginning or towards like the middle-ish. Another wave of guys come through. You got to, you know, battle it out again, but finish really strong. So hopefully I'm ready to go to Europe and kind of like play it a little more, get the ball a little more, just like, you know, play a little more consistently. So I haven't done that really since Wesleyan. So I'm kind of looking forward to that part of it for sure. So yeah, next year, Europe, I'm kind of in the works of, you know, kind of just seeing what that market's looking like right now. So
Sam, are you, Anti, like both y'all familiar with Eric Demers by any chance?
Yeah. I heard you.
So he played for like the Maine Celtics and stuff like that. And then now he's playing in Spain. And he was saying, I was in the gym with him the other day. And he was like basically saying how he has to learn how to like be the man again, because like when he was playing for the Maine Celtics, like he was like kind of like a role player almost. And like he wasn't really doing the same things that he was doing in college. So how do you like, and this is for both y'all, like Sam, maybe you can answer first, like how do you approach your workouts, like getting back in that mode of like taking a lot more shots and stuff like that?
Yeah. Even just being in season, like you want to be taking the shots you're taking like in game. And a lot of the times I'm not putting the ball down a lot. I'm not getting many touches. So those shots that, you know, those kickouts that I do get, like I got to let those things go. So a lot of it, like just catch and shoot, obviously keep my handle tight so I can bring the ball up a little bit, show, you know, my other strengths. But yeah, now I'm getting back at just getting to my mid ranges. Like they took the mid range out of the G League, really. So like you couldn't shoot any mid ranges. So getting back to like doing that was what I love doing. Shooting, you know, threes off the dribble. Like it's just fun thinking about being able to go freaking 1-on-1 full court. You know, just have the ball again.
So yo, experiment. Rude, I don't even know why you asked Ty about that, bro. You know he's getting his up regardless.
Workout or not, I'm coming in. 10 shot, first half.
But, Ty, I am kind of curious about your workouts, though. Like, what do you work on? Because, obviously, like, you get a lot of volume regardless of the team you on. So, what you be working on?
Nah, mainly I just shoot on the gun a lot. I don't really – it's not one thing that I really work on. just because I feel like I just play such an unorthodox like style of basketball, it's kind of hard to like rep. It's kind of hard to get those reps in practice without defenders or something like that. You know what I mean? So I just kind of shoot a lot on the shooting gun. Probably get up like 1,000 shots a day when I'm home. So I mean, yeah, that's pretty much it. There's nothing I really work single-handedly on a lot. If I like gotta focus on something, it's like my catch and shoot. Because I'm more comfortable dribbling into a three rather than catching and shooting. So I kind of pinpointed that this summer to try and get better at that. But yeah, other than that, I just feel like I just play the same way every time I play basketball. So none really changes too much for me.
Ty, I had asked you about the Mass Dream stuff, and I'd be seeing that like he'd be like posting like when y'all play one-on-ones and stuff. And I don't know like the other dudes' names that you'll be hooping with, but like it sounds like straight comedy in the gym. I'm not gonna lie, like straight jokes and stuff.
It's funny as hell, bro. I don't take none of that serious. That whole page is just funny, but he a good dude though.
Talk about those one-on-one, like, cause you coming over to Boston, I'm assuming. So talk about like playing against those guys and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's mainly for like, so he's trying to start this 1v1 league called the TDL, where he flies people in from different parts of America and then they just hoop 1v1. But yeah, it's mainly like we haven't done nothing for the channel. It's like after we work out, we'll play 1v1, you know, we're just, you know, just playing around or whatever. But, I think the pay-per-view events and stuff for the 1v1 start early August. So that's going to be a lot more serious. But yeah, just for now, it's just like we're sparring in the gym. It's no like competitive 1v1s or anything like that.
Nah, that's super tough. I was going to say, I peeped that you're starting to do more of those one-on-one tournaments. Cause like I seen, I think Scoob, he posted you on his story, like that y'all was gonna play one. So talk about like getting involved with that stuff. Cause I think it's super cool what they're doing, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, just when I got back this summer, a couple of the leagues you see on YouTube, Next Chapter, Ball is Life, the June's League, Off the Dribble, they contacted me all one after another. And they were like, you want to play him? You want to play him? I'm like, shit, how much we getting paid before I I don't do nothing for free. Y'all know that. So basically, if I'm not getting paid, I ain't doing it. they ain't come with good enough offers, and that was the end of that. But I mean, I definitely want to get into space, like with the Mass Dream, that's kind of my like one of my close friends, so I'll do it for him. Just to get into the space, but they know they got up the numbers if they want me to, you know, I got to fly right there. Nah, not for that.
But, yo, you was ducking or the flight that has got canceled?
It's not even the flight got canceled. They just weren't flying into Washington that day.
Oh.
And I told them, I'm like, shit, I would have came out 2 days early. Like, I don't give a damn. I would have came out the day of. But I just had that tournament in Atlanta. I just couldn't make any other moves after that.
Tight.
But, never ducking him. At all.
Yo, Sam, I got a question for you. I've been seeing you working with DJ Sackman. He a top trainer for sure. And you've been working with him for like a few years now, right?
Yeah. It's been a while.
I seen that you was working out with Todd Pettiford the other day, other like high major guys. So just talk about one, like the type of stuff you guys are doing with DJ Sackman and how he's kind of advanced your career the past few years.
Yeah, I've been working out with him a while. I got introduced to him through he was at like a camp, doing a camp one day and whatever. We kind of just like kept seeing each other, and he was from Jersey, so I would go to Jersey and work out. But he's got a gym in Montclair right now that he's starting to, like this year, he just got it, and he's starting to really trying to get pros coming through, like get good runs. He's doing camps. So yeah, me and Todd just got to work out that day. He's the kind of guy that, like, he'll just grab a Jersey kid, work him out for, like, a week. It'll be great, you know what I mean? And then he sends him off and he gets another guy coming in. But he gets it's really cool what he does. But, yeah, Montclair, I think next couple of years, like, you can get some real, real good runs in Jersey. So just have that on the lookout for sure.
But talk about, like, because I saw there was, like, a post on IG about your transition, not having no offers. So, obviously, the work's paying off. Yeah, how you think it's developed you?
Yeah, no. So he dropped like a summer transformation program that was kind of not based off like what he kind of did with me, but he kind of like worked it in like that. But just being able to like my mid-range, being able to get off two and jump really high for my pull-up, like something like that, he really emphasized with me for like you really like put in like for years, and it's finally started to show in like the G League. I was getting off too, like just getting high releases. But he's really just kind of been a mentor for me, just growing up, really, just being put me on his pages a little bit. We've done a lot of good stuff together.
Word. I want to transition and talk about TBT, y'all. So, Sam, I'll start with you. This year, first time playing in TBT, but specifically for We Are D3. So just talk about, like, generally what your expectations are for going into this tournament playing for We Are D3.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. I always watched it every summer. It was who's going to win the million, you know what I mean? It was fun. And then I actually, Tyler Lydon from this area, he played on Boeheim's Army probably like 5-6 years ago, and they won the whole thing.
I remember that. Yeah.
First memory watching it all. That was cool. And then I never really got like the chance to until last year. We are D3. I don't even know the damn name. We Are D3 reached out to me, but that was my first summer league opportunity, so I had to do that. So coming back, yeah, I'm excited to just be around guys who are D3 guys who I haven't really played against, talked to. You know, it's a good little connection, so I'm excited.
Nah, facts. Ty, I know that there was like, after y'all lost last year, there was some rumblings that Ty might not be returning for We Are D3. So I'm not going to say who, but there was some rumblings. So just
look
talk about.
Look in the Naruto over there spreading rumors. Like, why?
Bro.
But just talk about, Sam, you could probably answer after Ty, but I'm mostly curious, like, why I decided to play for We Are D3 again? Because you went crazy last year. I imagine you could have played for, you know, a lot of teams in TBT.
Yeah, I mean, more so just being comfortable. You know, obviously just still trying to put D3 on the map. I just feel like we would have got through that game last year. We had a real chance to make it to the Final Four, like 100%. But, now we added some
good. You were selling.
Hey, but listen. Matter of fact, we're not even going to talk about it. We're not going to talk about it. Some people take layups when we need threes. Some don't, but we're not going to talk about it. But, just mainly the pieces we added, I feel like obviously adding Sam, a guy who can play multiple positions and do multiple things at his size as well. So adding him, you know, adding another big guy down in the paint to help Alex, I just feel like the moves we made, it just gives us a shot. You know, we got a good opening round game that we should be able to take care of. And then we've seen in the previous two seasons that anything can happen when you play whoever. So. I mean, I'm just excited to get out there with the new pieces we added and to see what happens.
Ty, or Sam, did you have anything to add to that, bro? My bad, or no?
No, I mean, you know, the past 2 years I've been, you know, paid real close attention to, you know, you guys playing the TBT. And it's just, you know, again, to put D3 on the map, like, why wouldn't I take this opportunity?
Nah, that's a fact. Definitely, when Reg had told me that you're gonna play on the roster, I was like, yes.
He seems like a fun dude too. I want to meet him.
Yeah. he's real interesting.
He's a
guy,
character, man. He's yeah.
Nah, but definitely excited, you know, for this year for the to head out to the TBT. Obviously, you know, KJ went out last year and it was like I turned 22 on that weekend and like most memorable experience I ever had, bro, chilling with Ty, Marcus, and Quan, like all y'all joking and stuff like that, and then in practices, definitely fun. But Ty, I'm kind of interested. Maybe you don't know like all of the new additions to the team and like maybe where they came from, but it seemed like Reg, like with this year's team, he felt like really confident in the guards that you guys have and maybe some of the wings, but he wanted to add more of like more rebounding or more like bigs to help out, like you said, Sobol and stuff. So talk about how you have seen the team like develop, you know, over time playing with We Are D3 and stuff.
I just think from last year to coming in this year, my biggest thing was we were missing somebody on that wing. And I just feel like Sam was obviously the perfect fit for that position. You know, he can catch and shoot, put it on the ground. And he's versatile enough on defense to switch, you know, which we like to do a lot. So I just feel like coming in this year, adding beef down low, pause. You know, just solidifying some other positions. I just feel like this is the best roster we have currently and have had throughout the 6 years they've been in it. So like I said, man, I'm just excited. Obviously, the guys are going to play their role. You know, obviously, you don't want people doing too much because that kind of conflicts what everybody wants to do. But, you know, as long as everybody plays their roles, man, I just feel like this is our best opportunity to make a deep run.
Nah, yeah. Me and Ruta was saying the other day, this roster really lit. You guys definitely got the potential to do something special if you stop selling in the Elon, for sure.
That's the thing. Not me selling.
The thing is, I got the clip still of last year's final Elon.
Didn't I get hurt? Didn't I get hurt in that game?
You did, but you were still playing, so it's not an excuse.
So my leg was hurting a little bit. I didn't get on my side.
Sam, so obviously we're talking about the roster. It's your first year. And there's like Sobel, he played in the NESCAC. I imagine that you know some of the other guys just having like a resume in D3. Who are some of the guys you look forward to playing with this year? And I know Ty in the stream, but you do not have to say Ty Nichols.
No, I definitely, the first time I heard about Ty, I had a friend from around here, Kelby Santoro, or not Kelby, Kyle Santoro. I think he played with you at Keene.
Yep.
Yep, so I remember his dad telling me the stories. You know, you could definitely score. So I was looking forward to playing with Ty. But, you know, I battled against Sobel for, you know, 3-4 years. I battled against Azor. Azor was tough, so, I'm looking forward to playing with him. And then the new NESCAC guy, like Hank Morgan, I'm looking forward to seeing him a little bit play. So just, you know, I'm looking forward to just meeting everybody, too.
Nah, they got 3 NESCAC guys, bro. What's up with that, man?
No, Cal. That's Cag showing out. But so Ty, this is for you. Reg always talks about, like, still to this day, no matter what happens in the Elon, he's comfortable with, if we need a 2, we need a 3, he's comfortable with you taking a 3-pointer. But obviously this allows you to play with a lot of confidence, and you talk about playing comfortable. So just talk about, like, more your mindset when it gets to Elon ended.
Yeah, and I just think basketball is all mental. That's pretty much all it is. Skill has a little bit to do with it. But that late in the game, obviously with the extra period, you're tired. Skill kind of goes out the window. It's all about the mental endurance you have. And that also goes back to confidence. If you got the confidence in yourself to take certain shots in certain moments, then you just do. You know, it's just something that you just can't teach another player that's got to kind of have it instilled in themselves. So, obviously, I give Reg a great deal of thanks. For obviously trusting me in certain moments, but I just feel like anybody on the court at that certain moment gets a shot, they can hit it. So, I mean, I'm comfortable with whoever takes a shot. Obviously, I'd want to be the one taking it, but if not, I'm very comfortable and I'll be okay with whoever takes that shot at the end for sure.
Nah, you could tell that too, bro. Like when Quan, like obviously you and Quan, like without knowing, like if y'all talk like outside of TBT, like you could see like y'all like close at least, like. Like when we were there last year, like y'all would always joke with one another, but I felt like last year when he hit the shot to go into tie it up to go into Elam ending, like you had like a great reaction to it, bro. You know what I mean? Like it was like you were supporting, like, yo, like he deserved to
right.
take and like he worked for that shot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, 100%. And then I think even in the huddle, I told him to drop another play for him right after we came out the timeout. Mm. 100%. If you're a basketball player, we're all basketball players, we're all human. If you're making shots in certain moments, it's key for you to ball. Simple.
That's a fact. Simple equation for sure.
So obviously we taking a game at a time. What's the first team that we play? What are they called? Lane's Hope or something?
Mm.
Yeah, so you're taking them first, but obviously this region is stacked with Bayhams Army, Rise and Grind, other good teams. So just talk about like both of y'all, some of the players that you looking forward to hooping against?
Not really hooping against other players. I'm really looking forward to hooping in front of Jim Boeheim. I played his son when I was in the Czech Republic, and then I played his other son when I went to Germany. So, I mean, definitely looking forward to playing in front of him. Obviously, you got some great alums playing for UConn and Syracuse. But you're never looking forward to playing against someone. Definitely looking forward to playing in front of him for sure.
Nah, that's respect for sure. What about you, Sam?
I don't think I know too many guys in that first team, but you know, Elijah's on that Syracuse team. I played with Buddy last year, so it'll be cool to compete against him. And then again, you know, Jim Boeheim coaching, that'd be, you know, it's a cool experience, fun little story. So
that's a fact, bro. It's gonna be cool too, cause like there's a lot of D3 schools, and like obviously like like Sam, you from New York, Ty, you from like Western Mass, which is like right on the border of upstate New York. So hopefully like maybe get some fam and stuff there. So it should be a good crowd, I feel like, bro, for y'all.
Yeah.
Last thing, Ruta actually mentioned this to me, but we weren't planning on asking y'all, but for both of y'all, you guys are planning on playing overseas pro. Ty, you're like a veteran in the pro game. I know you just signed a pro contract, but like, what are you guys looking for at this point in your career? What in terms of countries, money, all that stuff? What's your thought process in signing an overseas contract?
Looking for the highest amount of salary I could make. I'll go play in Iraq if they offer them. Yeah. It's a good experience. I'm playing a good league, play against for the best players in Europe. So. Me signing allow me to do that, but I mean, yeah, just obviously looking for a good situation for yourself. You want to obviously have a car, house, wherever you're at. You want to be treated well, you want to be around a good environment because you're over there for a long time in a foreign country. So, I mean, just looking for something you're comfortable in. Me personally,
right. Sam, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, as a first year Europe guy. You know, I didn't have a ton of stats in the G League that were consistent. So just getting to a place where I can go hoop, get my stats, get my film, and then hopefully be able to just take off from there. I'm looking at like a second league Spain or like a, you know, like a good league, but a place where I can definitely go ball out. Sure. Set me up.
Definitely excited to see, you know, where your journey goes next, Sam. You know what I'm saying? Definitely hoping you end up in the right opportunity too. I wanted to ask y'all on a different note. So both y'all respective schools, like colleges, had a pretty solid year this year. Obviously, Wesleyan, they made it to the Final Four, lost to Trinity. And Keene State, I think, lost to Trinity in the second round of the NCAA tournament. So I'm wondering, do y'all still follow like y'all like alma maters? And if so, do you like, what do you guys think? Like, can your teams from back in the day compete with them now? Like, I'm kind of interested to hear that.
Respectfully, my sophomore year would be any Keene team I've seen in the last years. By 20.
Come on, don't do that. Don't do that, bro.
By 20.
Don't do that. When Octavio and Jeff was both hooping, I was not beating them by 20, bro.
Bro, stop with this Octavio stuff. We're not going to get into this right now.
I'm not saying just, oh, but Jeff is a factor too.
They had two players, bro. We were like 10 deep. We were beating Middlebury when they had certain players. Like, nah, bro. The team Keene had was good, but we beat them by like 10 plus for sure.
Ty, I was going to say something crazy, but yeah, go ahead, Sam.
No, yeah. I mean, our Wesley team was real good this year, obviously. But that senior class was my freshman. So I've really watched like every year since then because I just knew guys on the team. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, there's no, yeah, we're beating them up for sure.
Like, what's he talking about?
And honestly, the years before that, too.
We
had some stacked teams.
Sam, your team was definitely that, but this team was also that, bro. They were ranked number two in the country, bro.
But bro, they were missing a big.
Nah, that's true. But Joe Riley, he really implemented like a different system to where they was still nice. I feel like both of y'all are kind of biased, and every hooper knows this. When you're like the big bro, it's hard to look at little bro as if they can compete, but I think both of y'all are dragging it just a tad.
But they'll always be little bro, though. Come on.
All right, that's fair. Oh, but your college form versus their college form is how we talking.
Wait,
what'd you say, Ty?
We went to the Elite Eight in college. Owen and Jeff never been that far.
Yeah, y'all was playing different comp.
Yeah, we were playing a better comp.
They played the national champs.
So did we. We lost to Babson.
Yeah. And y'all both lost. That's what I'm saying.
We lost in the Elite Eight, though.
They lost in the Sweet 16.
But on our way there, we beat the number two ranked team in the country, Amherst. We beat the number three in the country, Christopher Newport. We beat the number five ranked team in the country, Ramapo. Like, what are we talking about?
All right, that's good evidence besides just – Like, we,
I don't quite have all the evidence right now. I don't know.
Like, the rankings don't really.
All right, last thing before we get you guys out of here, final words for TBT 2025. Go ahead, Sam, you go first.
Yeah, I'm just excited to represent Division III, meet everybody, you know, just compete, you know, kick some guys' ass that don't think we're, they're always looking down on us no matter what. We can win 5 games next year. The year after that, they'll think they're going to whoop us. So just going to go prove some people wrong.
Yep. Todd, what you got?
And like Sam, man, just can't wait to get out there and compete with the guys, new guys, and just get after it. Y'all bringing a mic this year?
OD. OD.
First.
Mic'd up.
It's the thing.
I heard. Well, we appreciate you guys getting on 90D2. We definitely locked in for TBT, and good luck. We'll see you in a few weeks.
All right, fellas.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Not Even D2.
Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you follow us on Instagram, Twitter. That's the best way to support the channel.
And all episodes released on iHeartRadio, Pandora, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts. That's going to do it. And we'll see you next week on Thursday.
Yo, bro, that was a fire episode.
OD.